Hey, Avani Dias with you for the Hack Podcast. Thanks for joining me. And I'm really excited to be hanging out with you and hosting Hack for the next month. And on this episode, do you want whiter teeth?
You can have cute clothes, wear hot makeup, but if your teeth don't look great, then what's the point?
You've probably seen Instagram influencers and celebrities like Kim Kardashian, who we just heard, spruiking teeth whitening products on your feed. And not only are they ineffective, but apparently they can cause severe gum burning and ulcers in your mouth. It sounds pretty gross, right? So we're going to hear some horror stories later. Plus, the Australian government's considering joining the US against Iran. So how likely is a full-blown war?
A 21-year-old white man was arrested minutes after murdering 20 people at a Walmart. He's believed to have posted an online document calling the attack a response to the Hispanic invasion of Texas.
Triple J.
America's reeling once again after another two mass shootings over the weekend. 29 people are dead. Most of them were shopping for after-school supplies in Texas when a gunman opened fire, and the others were at a nightclub in Ohio. In the Texas shooting, the accused gunman has been linked to an anti-immigrant manifesto. So what happened? Let's find out with Tim Swanston.
One shot hurt.
All attack units, investigative units, please make it to the west side of Walmart, please.
Police say there would have been thousands of people in this El Paso shopping center when gunshots began to ring out. The target was a crowded Walmart filled with families buying back-to-school supplies.
Go, 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 come on!
Police responded to the shooting within 6 minutes.
Situation, needless to say, is a horrific one.
That's El Paso Police Chief Greg Allen.
From this shooter, we have 20 confirmed fatalities, and we have 26 wounded.
Here's Texas Governor Greg Abbott.
On a day that would have been a normal day for someone to leisurely go shopping, turned into one of the most deadly days in the history of Texas.
The alleged shooter has been identified as a 21-year-old white male from Allen, Texas, Patrick Crucius. He would have had to drive more than 1,000 kilometres to get to El Paso, which is on the US-Mexico border and has an 80% Hispanic population. Police will allege he used a rifle in the attack, later surrendering to police. Authorities have now linked a racist anti-immigrant manifesto posted online shortly before the shooting to Crucius and are treating the shooting as an act of domestic terrorism.
I got it.
Hours after the killings in Texas, a different part of the United States was in mourning. 24-year-old Caucasian man Connor Betts opened fire outside a crowded bar just after 1 in the morning in Dayton, Ohio, killing 9 people, including his own sister. Luckily, police were nearby on a routine patrol, and Betts was shot dead by police in less than a minute. Dayton Police Chief Richard Beale says the shooter wore a bulletproof vest, mask, hearing protection, and was carrying at least 100 rounds of ammunition.
Had this individual made it through the doorway of Ned Pepper's with that level of weaponry, there would have been a catastrophic injury and loss of life.
Donald Trump tweeted about the two attacks and made these comments to reporters.
We have to get it stopped. This has been going on for years. For years and years in our country, we have to get it stopped.
Trump says hate has no place in the country and did acknowledge that more might need to be done. He also spoke about the pair's mental health.
This is also a mental illness problem. If you look at both of these cases, this is mental illness. These are really people that are very, very seriously mentally ill.
But leading Democrats have again stepped up their attacks on the president. And what they say is Donald Trump feeding racial tensions in the US, often through his tweets.
He has tried to make us afraid of them to some real effect and consequence.
That's Democratic presidential candidate Beto O'Rourke talking about Trump's approach to Mexicans. Beto O'Rourke was born in El Paso and says he believes Trump is a white nationalist.
He is a racist and he stokes racism in this country, and it does not just offend our sensibilities, it fundamentally changes the character of this country and it leads to violence.
Hack on Triple J.
That's Tim Swanston with that story. And yeah, it sounds like a rerun, another mass shooting in America. But this time the debate is more than about gun control. It's about how one of the shooters may have been a white nationalist. Dr. Jacinta Carroll's with us. She's a national security expert and she's researching how to stop violent extremism and radicalization. Jacinta, thanks for your time. And authorities are calling the Texas shooting domestic terrorism, and many of those are linked to white supremacists, and it's actually caused far more deaths now than foreign terrorism. So why aren't politicians giving this as much attention as, say, Islamic terror, which is constantly condemned?
Yeah, hi, Avni. Really good to be with you. It's a great question. A major debate in terrorism circles in the US, or counterterrorism circles, over the past few years has been exactly that. Why is it that many crimes that are termed hate crimes that do seem to be linked to far-right extremism aren't called terrorism? And we do seem to have seen a breakthrough with El Paso, where it is being investigated as a terrorism attack and offence. And you're correct that in the 9/11 period, more attacks from far-right extremism have occurred in the US than from Islamist extremism. But the data isn't reflecting that clearly, because they're typically seen as hate crimes and so on. It's really useful now that this is being called what it is. And, of course, the difference between a mass shooting, violence for whatever reason, and terrorism is that this type of mass shooting appears to be politically motivated. So if it's politically motivated, religiously motivated, and linked to some bigger, broader cause and intended to spread a message beyond that particular incident, then it's technically terrorism.
Rob from Byron on the text line says, it's kind of odd how Trump speaks against hate after all he's done, including highly offensive remarks to those Congress members and other comments. And I want to ask you about that, Jacinta, because we heard in that package there many people linking Donald Trump to this, saying that he's fostering this culture of white nationalism. Do you think that's fair?
Look, it's a really difficult one, and Byron's correct to say this isn't helping. The problem is, though, that far-right extremists and look, all terrorists play to emotion. And so the things that they talk about are nationalist things, concerns that everyday people have about their jobs, about immigration, about race. Even some of the more extreme views, well, they're unsavoury, but they're not necessarily illegal, and they don't necessarily promote violence, and as unsavoury as some views amongst some right-wing Americans might be, they're not necessarily terrorism. This is where it becomes complicated in the terrorism environment, because the far-right extremists want us to think that there is a war on between them and between others that they would describe as being extreme left or extremely pro-human rights or Muslim or whatever else. They're trying to create a black and white world.
So do you think it's fair to link it to Donald Trump, though? Because, you know, this mass shooter, the person who's accused of this shooting, has been tweeting about Trump, praising him online, and we've heard all these different comments that Trump has made over the years. So is it fair to make that connection?
Oh, look, it's probably an important time for the US system as a whole to bring themselves together and not let this dictate how they are. It is a time when you need to show strong leadership, and a really good example of that is the way the New Zealand government and the New Zealand community responded after Christchurch. After the Christchurch mosque attack, despite what a far-right extremist said about what was happening in that country and what was happening in the world, the community at large just said, no, we reject that. This was an attack on our people. And there is a risk. Identity politics is very hot. It's quite extreme at the moment in the US. So it'll be very difficult to step down from this. But it's not helpful to have normal political views seem to be supporting extreme violence like this.
We're chatting to Dr.
Really
Jacinta
complex.
Carroll. She's a national security expert, taking us through the mass shootings in the US and what the broader implications may be. On the text line, it feels like each time there's a mass shooting in the US, it's just another record for another person to break the following week or month. I hear you, it keeps happening. And Billy from Brisbane says Islamic extremism is far-right extremism as well. And Jacinta, you just mentioned Christchurch, and the Texas gunman has been linked to this manifesto. In it, he wrote he drew inspiration from the white nationalist attack in New Zealand. How common are these copycat attacks in this white supremacist trend that we're seeing?
Yeah, look, it's really interesting, and I'll say the texts that have just come in are spot on as well. Look, it's interesting. Far-right extremists typically tend to be lone attackers. If you think of someone, you know, obviously El Paso, Christchurch.
They're not linked to a cell of any sort.
Yeah, so it's not our usual traditional idea of a terrorist group that's, you know, running around together in the jungles or in caves or whatever. But what they do use to link themselves together again is an ideology, and that's what all terrorist groups do. They've got this very simple view of the world. And dating back particularly from Breivik, we have this this idea of having a manifesto that explains their political view of the world, their narrative. And they're usually very long, very dense, and they will have a very selective list of historical events, usually incorrectly portrayed, but they'll start putting forward the way the world is and then justifying why it's right and appropriate that they did what they do.
Yeah, and those manifestos are posted often on the online space, on forums
exactly.
Like 8chan. And the founder of 8chan, Frederick Brennan, has spoken to the ABC today. He said that he's worried that the forum he created has adopted this worrying ideology. This is what he said.
I just feel like they're not going to change. They have no interest in changing. And that, yeah, it should be shut down because it seems like they really think this is funny. They really enjoy being the big, bad, edgy site. So they just keep upping the ante over and over again. And for that reason, I think it should be shut down because the administrators are immature.
Yeah, that's the founder of 8chan, Frederick Brennan. Jacinta, do you think these forums should be taken down like he's calling for?
Yeah, it's an amazing one when you see that someone like Brennan, who's he created this as a champion of freedom of speech, of course, and said there should be a site where anyone can say anything they want to. It's amazing. He says shut it down. And it really goes to what kind of society do we want to have and what will the community put up with? We have heard over the weekend some other administrators, if you like, of far-right websites saying, we can close down 8chan, but we'll just pop up again somewhere else. And there are many other sites as well. The issue is that 8chan is very readily accessible. It is anonymised. And also, Brennan's main point was that it's actually not being administered properly. So there is a responsibility for those who create these sites to actually be responsible global citizens. Mm. And we've seen that with Facebook, YouTube and others over the last couple of years. A lot of weight was put on them by countries like Australia to say you've got to step up and not just make money out of these things and not just sit back and say anyone can say anything. You are part of promulgating this information.
But it does seem 8chan is a much harder space to moderate. But thank you so much for your time, Dr. Jacinta Carroll. Really appreciate the insights you've given us on the text line. Someone says, I can't believe Trump is trying to paint an issue of racism and gun violence as something to blame on people with mental health issues. And we did play a bit of 8chan founder Frederick Brennan. That was from a fascinating chat that he had with the Signal podcast. And if you want to hear more of that story and where the alt-right could head to next, that episode will be up tomorrow morning.
So a lot of you guys have been asking, like, what do I use to get my teeth white?
Teeth whitening has been really big on Instagram for a really, really long time now.
On Triple J.
So do you want whiter teeth? No, we haven't suddenly become the infomercial channel, and I'm not trying to sell you some weird products, but Instagram influencers, who we just heard, and celebrities have been. They're spruiking DIY at-home teeth whiteners, and they range from LED lights, powders, toothpastes, oils, and they're pretty cheap. But Australian dentists are freaking out about this growing industry. They're saying they're dangerous, and one of them is Dr. Nora Ayed. She's with us now. Nora, how often do people come to you with a teeth whitening horror story?
Being a dentist on the Gold Coast, we probably see, at least sort of every week to fortnight, depending on seasons. You know, formal season tends to bring out a few extra of these, but dentists are seeing these regularly enough that we're concerned about it.
Wow, and I want to hear from you. Have you had a bad experience with DIY teeth whiteners? Give me a call, 1-300-055-36. Nora, tell us what these horror stories are. What are you seeing in these people who have used these products?
So some of these online products aren't as regulated, obviously, as the products we have, you know, in our stores. And so they have a concentration of bleach in them that's actually too high. And when people are using that higher concentration, we're seeing damage to the enamel of the teeth, which is that protective layer. And we're also seeing some pretty severe chemical burns and ulceration to the gum because the bleach is not designed to actually be in contact with the gums.
Wow. And do you think that all of these products are dangerous or is it just particular brands?
Look, it's certainly not, you know, every single product. And number one thing we would say to anyone considering using any of these products is chat to your dentist about it because they're in the best position to look at those ingredients, make sure that they're safe and that they're in the right concentration, but also tell you how to use the product safely and making sure you're not going to, you know, get it on your gums and cause damage to your teeth.
Are the people that are coming to you with these problems, have they heard about these teeth whitening products from Instagram influencers?
Basically from a lot of different sources. Sometimes it's shopping centre, you know, bleachings that have popped up, but certainly social media, Facebook, Instagram, just means that these products are so widely available and people can get their hands on just about anything.
We've got Michael on the line. Have you used these teeth whitening products?
No, I haven't, but I spoke to my dentist because I'm actually wanting to get my teeth whitened and there was two options. There was like a $900 package to get my teeth done in the chair or there was another package for about $400 to get a mold taken and then take the stuff home and do it at home. So I had the mold done on Friday. I'm picking up the kit in the morning and I'm going to try and do it at home. Ooh. Apparently, but now I'm worried.
Yeah, what are you thinking now that you've heard of these horror stories? Are you a bit freaked out?
Yeah, pretty freaked out.
Are you going to do it anyway?
Probably. My dentist is on the Gold Coast anyway, so I might just go down to the other one if I have a problem.
And had you heard about these teeth whitening products from Instagram influencers? Where did you hear about it?
No. My wife went to a dentist a little while ago and had a whitening kit done in the chair and she had great results and I just couldn't fork out another $900 for myself. So I thought I'd just try and do the old cheapo method.
All right. Well, good luck, Michael. We're chatting to Dr. Nora Ayed about teeth whitening products which are being promoted on Instagram. Nora, on the Hack Facebook page, Kel says, maybe if going to the dentist wasn't so damn expensive, less people would try DIY stuff like this. Isn't that a valid point? It is pretty expensive to get it done. We just heard Michael was quoted $900.
Yeah, look, it's certainly a valid point, but at the end of the day, we're finding cheap and nasty is not necessarily the way to go either, and sometimes you do just get what you pay for. The other extreme of this is that people are actually not getting much results of this sort of stuff. So even though it seems cheap, if they're not actually getting anything out of it because it hasn't got high enough concentration, for example, then they're wasting their money on that as well.
On the text line, someone says, they're an actual rip-off. How is the Consumer Commission not investigated it already? And Tom says, waste of money, stick to the basic toothpaste morning and night and you'll be fine. P.S. Don't forget to floss. Jade from Western Sydney's called in and you've had a bad experience with these products. What happened?
So I ended up getting my teeth whitened because I thought it looked really good on Instagram and everyone's teeth was really white. And I ended up waking up the next morning with blisters all through my mouth and all over my lips.
So the very next day this happened?
Yeah, straight after.
Straight after. And so did you head to the dentist straight away? Did you have to get a lot of, you know, remedies put in your mouth?
Well, I ended up going just to like the pharmacy the next day and I just got like a blister cream. It took pretty much 2 weeks for it to fully heal, but I couldn't eat for a week. It was so painful. I could hardly drink and talk. And I honestly paid $200 and it's so not worth it.
Wow, that sounds horrible. And so when you heard about it from Instagram, were these people warning you that there could be negative repercussions?
No, I'd never ever heard anything negative happen. So when I woke up the next morning, I was like, oh my gosh, like, is this normal? I did a little bit of research from it and it actually is quite normal. A lot of people have had that side effect, which is pretty scary.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for the call, Jade. Nora, I want to know, what is causing people's teeth to go yellow or less white? Because it seems like if you deal with the cause of this, then maybe that's a better outcome than using these products.
Look, the causes can be honestly quite numerous. So some people, teeth come in an array of colours. There's not just white teeth, and that's what everyone should have. So everyone's teeth develop with a certain translucency or a certain colour to them. So sometimes it's just how the tooth is, and people would like their teeth to naturally be brighter. Oftentimes it is a dietary thing. So teas, coffees, red wines, soy sauces, all the fabulous things that we all love to consume reasonably frequently. At the end of the day, if we're willing to give all that up, then, you know, we probably wouldn't have a lot of the issues with staining. Smoking is a big one as well. Not looking after your teeth. So if we're not brushing, if we're not flossing, if we're not looking after our teeth, then that white layer of the tooth, that enamel layer, deteriorates, gets thinner, things like that. So it could be any number of things.
Yeah, well, a lot of enjoyable things that you'd have to give up to get less, you know, better teeth, basically. But Dr. Noraya, thanks for your time. On the text line, Hannah in Canberra says, if Medicare covered dental work, I'd be way less inclined to do this. And Reese from Scott's Head says, ha ha ha, dentist, ka-ching, you know what I mean.
A fresh show of strength in the Gulf.
This is the third tanker that Iran has seized in the past month.
The government is carefully considering this issue.
Trip today.
Petrol prices are pretty expensive, right? Well, what if they got even more pricey? Well, that'd be just one of the repercussions for us if the US and Iran went to war. Things are getting tense between the two countries, and now Australia's being dragged into it as well. The US has asked Australia and its other allies to join an international coalition to protect oil routes against Iran. So let's find out more with Joe Lauder.
We're asking every nation to join.
That's the US Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. He's in Australia at the moment for talks with the Australian Defence and Foreign Ministers. The US has been trying to convince allies to join an international coalition to protect ships travelling in the Middle East. Australia's Defence Minister Linda Reynolds says they're still considering the request.
The request that the United States has made is a very serious one, and it is a complex one. That's why we are currently giving this request very serious consideration. But we will ultimately, as we always do, decide what is in our own sovereign interests.
You might be wondering where all this has come from. Tensions have been rising in the seas around Iran for months, but the main focus has been a strip called the Strait of Hormuz. It's a choke point between Iran and Saudi Arabia, and around a quarter of the world's oil and natural gas passes through there. Last year, 21 million barrels of oil sailed through the strait every day. So, yeah, you can kind of see how strategically important it is.
We have to get goods from A to B. And if A happens to be the Middle East, you got to get them through the strait.
Iran is deliberately sabotaging and disrupting the global oil market to tick off the US. It's because America withdrew from a major international agreement, the Iran nuclear deal, even though Iran hadn't broken the conditions. As part of the withdrawal, America also put sanctions back onto Iran.
In a few moments, I'll be signing an executive order imposing hard-hitting sanctions on the Supreme Leader of Iran and the Office of the Supreme Leader of Iran and many others.
In June, Iran was accused of attacking two oil tankers, although it denied it, and it shot down a US drone.
The sea may be calm, but the ship is at the centre now of an international diplomatic storm.
Then this happened when British forces seized an Iranian oil tanker that the UK claims was heading to Syria and therefore violating sanctions. Iran hit back by seizing a British tanker in the Strait of Hormuz a couple of weeks back and also a Panamanian one. Now it's seized a third tanker, according to Iranian state TV.
It was carrying out professional and organised fuel smuggling. There were seven crew members on board. It was carrying 700,000 litres of smuggled diesel fuel. Currently, both the vessel and its crew members have been detained.
The government is carefully considering this issue.
The Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, was pretty cautious when he spoke about getting involved with the US military escort. But he sees the oil shipping issue as kind of separate to the broader hostility between Iran and the US.
This is about safe shipping lines, which is good for global peace. And these are not uncommon activities for Australia or others to be engaged in.
And the PM rejected the suggestion that this would increase tensions in an already fraught situation.
I think the international effort that's being discussed here is designed to do one thing, and that is to de-escalate.
European countries have been reluctant to get in on America's mission, and Germany's foreign minister has come out saying they won't be joining.
We are in close agreement with our French partners in this regard. We think the strategy of maximum pressure is wrong. We do not want a military escalation. We will continue to work with diplomacy.
The thing is, Australia only has enough petrol and crude oil to last 28 days, which is a lot less than the mandatory 90 days worth. But the Defence Minister Linda Reynolds told the ABC this morning they're chatting to the United States about buying oil from its huge reserves.
Australia is reliant on traffic through the Straits of Hormuz for, you know, a percentage of our oil supplies. So we're doing everything that we can to be a good government and to be prudent to make sure that we get a continuity of supply.
Hack Triple J. Joe Lauder with that story, and someone's texted in, the US has manufactured this standoff through their disastrous foreign policy decisions. Let's break that down. Roger Shanahan has been following this closely. He's from the Lowy Institute and he's a Middle East security expert. Roger, Australia's promised to keep its ties with the US. Is it likely the government will accept the request from America for us to go to the Persian Gulf with America against Iran?
Well, you'd think, given the public nature of the request at the Osmin conference, you don't normally make these kind of requests unless you know there's going to be a positive response to it. There's normally a bit of a dance, and then something is offered up. So it wouldn't surprise me if we provide some kind of niche capability as part of this broader multinational coalition. But exactly what form it will take, that's probably what's being nutted out at the moment.
If we agreed to this, do you think it would provoke Iran?
No, I mean, we don't know much about the nature of the coalition, what its tasking is going to be, what kind of command and control arrangements it has, what its legal remit is going to be. So there are a lot of unanswered questions before we can determine what kind of response the Iranians are likely to have.
I guess the big question that keeps coming up is the US going to go to a war with Iran? The tensions just continue to rise.
No, listen, we're a long, long way away from that. It's in nobody's best interests. There's normally a tit-for-tat in this kind of strategic dance, and when temperatures get too high, both sides tend to pull back. So I don't think that's a realistic option at the moment.
How important is the Strait of Hormuz? We just heard about it, and we know that it's responsible for transporting a lot of the world's oil. How much do we in Australia rely on that area?
Well, it just depends. About 20% of the world's oil passed through the Straits of Hormuz. Australia gets most of its petroleum from refineries in Singapore, and they get the product from different locations. So it's very difficult to say day on day what percentage of Australian oil imports comes through the Straits of Hormuz, because it changes as the markets change and the providers change to the Singaporeans. But certainly a percentage, as the Defence Minister said, certainly a percentage of Australia's petroleum exports do come through the Straits of Hormuz.
Along with this Iran proposal, the US wants to deploy missiles around Asia capable of hitting China, and the top end of Australia has been floated as a possible location for that. But the government said there's been no request for that as yet. Do you expect that will happen?
I wouldn't think so. Sometimes, as we said previously, if the US at an Osmin conference says that they've made a request, as in the case of the Persian Gulf Task Force, then you can normally say that that's been agreed to prior. If they're just talking about general strategic direction, like missiles in the region, that's not normally a precursor for an invitation. It's normally just part of the strategic messaging. So I wouldn't expect some kind of request in the distant future.
All right, Roger Shanahan from the Lowy Institute, thank you so much for your time. On the text line, we are not the puppets of the US. To be dragged into another potential war for oil would be a disaster. And someone else says, it sounds like a cliche, but we need more love, not war. Maybe this will push the government to an alternative oil. And heaps of text still coming in about teeth whitening. Someone saying, at-home whitening from a dentist with custom-made application trays is very different to one size fits all stuff from Instagram.
Hack on Triple J.
We got heaps of texts from people on teeth whitening and the horror stories we just heard. Someone says, sad to hear people taking health advice from Instagram influencers and celebrities. That is a fair point. Thanks so much for listening to the Hack podcast. I'll catch you later.